Welcome back to the McAdoo Studios. Kyle Bailey, still joined by Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Follow him on Twitter at Chris Coleman TSL. And I have been looking forward to having this conversation all day with you, sir. North Carolina gets its notice of allegations from the NCAA. It is a 5-point document, I guess we could say. And among those things that have been alleged, lack of institutional control.
Of course.
Which, you know, of the five things that are there, that seems the most obvious to me. Yeah. And I think to most others as well.
I don't know how they avoided that charge the first time.
I'm not sure either. I really don't. And now in the wake of the Weinstein report, there is just no skirting lack of institutional control here. You said during the break that you thought they would accept some points, contest others. Mm-hmm. They're clearly going to contest lack of institutional control, because that in and of itself means bad things are on the way, you know, for lack of a better phrasing. You know, when you're charged with lack of institutional control, no matter how much of a darling you are of the NCAA, no matter what kind of cash cow you are for the NCAA, when you have charges levied at you that are lack of institutional control, it's a serious accusation.
It's a serious accusation, and I don't think they're going to be able to get out of this one, in my opinion. I think the athletic department itself will be punished. I think women's basketball will probably be hit harder than anything else, because there's just so much direct. I mean, the director of their ethics department, who happened to be the academic advisor for the women's basketball team, was just finishing their papers for them.
Jan Boxel.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Ethics department.
It's truly the height of irony. I mean, that is the height of irony.
Yeah.
You know, she was a philosophy instructor, director of the Parr Center for Ethics, and the Women's Basketball Athletic Academic Council, mm-hmm. like you just said, and knowingly provided those benefits in the form of impermissible academic assistance and special arrangements to the women's basketball student-athletes. Not to jump ahead too far here, but doesn't it just feel like the women's basketball program is going to get hammered?
They're going to get hammered.
I'm talking about like scapegoat-type hammered. You know what I mean?
Lose four of their 14 scholarships, mm-hmm. maybe five, something like that.
Yep.
Miss postseason ban for 4 years, something uh-huh. like that. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I think the football program will be punished again. What worries me is that basketball program will. I think basketball will get something, but I don't know exactly. I don't think it's going to do any long term damage to their program.
And Carolina's on the verge of extending Roy Williams.
Yeah, they shouldn't do that. I think Roy's past his prime anyway, and they're better off with another basketball coach, regardless of what happens. But that's another conversation, though. I don't think the NCAA is going to look at them and say, oh, they're North Carolina, we can't punish them that badly. Because, I mean, if you think about it, yeah, North Carolina's worth a lot of money, but, you know, is CBS going to call up the NCAA and say, we're writing you a smaller check this year because North Carolina's not in the NCAA tournament?
No.
All right, that's not going to happen. Honestly, them getting put on probation would hurt the ACC and hurt Virginia Tech more than it would the NCAA, if you really want to think about it. If they're not eligible for the postseason, including the ACC tournament mm-hmm. and the NCAA tournament, that hurts the ACC a lot more than it hurts the NCAA. So I want to see them get smacked for my own personal reasons, but I certainly don't mind that money that they bring in, that Virginia Tech gets a chunk of for all their NCAA tournament appearances.
It's not that I think you're wrong. It's that I just have so little faith in the NCAA to do the right thing here, that until some modicum of severe punishment is doled out, I'm just not going to believe it until I see that happen.
You know, and these days, because of these television contracts, you got to figure out, all right, what is right here? What is an appropriate punishment level? That's the question. You can't give schools the death penalty anymore because their conference teammates, for lack of a better word, we all rely on each other.
Well, sure.
With television scheduling and everything.
Immediate litigation.
Yes.
You're going to court for that.
Yeah.
And when you don't give Miami the death penalty for what occurred, you know, in South Beach, you know, assuming that they don't give the death penalty to North Carolina for what's happening there. You know, now you're setting precedent where you're accusing lack of institutional control, but you're not doling out the death penalty. So, you know, then what is the bar?
Well, the death penalty these days should be a huge fine and not one of these like $50,000 fines that you've seen Ohio State get,
well,
which is just a slap on the wrist. We're talking about I would fine them like $10 million.
Even with the $60 million fine that Penn State got was nothing to them.
Right.
You know,
right.
It wasn't nothing, but I mean, when you look at a big state school like Penn State,
right.
You know, and their endowment and the enrollment size, the money they bring in, you know, $60 million, yeah, it hurt, but
yeah.
it was far from crippling.
Yeah. I mean, to me, these days, For something like North Carolina or Miami, I mean, a multi-million-dollar fine, and now a fine would have really hurt Miami because their little secret is they don't have all that much money
right.
in their athletic department.
That's right.
And, you know, not like four or five scholarships. I'm talking like 10 scholarships a year
mm-hmm.
for like 4 or 5 years. You can only sign 15 guys a year. Yeah, you can still play TV games, but everybody gets to watch you get blown out by 6 touchdowns for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
That's the death penalty these days, or what it should be. But to make it where nobody wants to coach them, nobody wants to play for them.
Right, yeah. Right. And that wasn't even the case at Penn State.
No.
You know, you still had kids that wanted to go there.
Yeah.
So I guess I just keep coming back to, as it pertains to North Carolina, what defense could North Carolina possibly have? You know, when it comes to mounting a defense against these allegations, what defense could they possibly have?
I don't think they have much of a defense.
Well, they don't, because you can't claim ignorance here. That's been established that it's just not good enough.
Yeah.
And you have enough, you know, evidence of emails that were exchanged and just understanding how higher education works and who has to be involved to pull off this kind of high-level academic fraud. Everyone has to be pulling strings.
Yeah.
So North Carolina has no defense here.
No, they have no defense here.
But to hear Carolina fans tell it, you know, there are things in the Weinstein report that would, you know, that are just glaring, that means they didn't do anything wrong.
North Carolina fans don't care what other people think.
No.
Because North Carolina fans don't think anybody else's opinion matters. That's why they don't care what anybody else thinks.
That's
because
fair.
They think only they're above everybody is what they think. It's what it seems like to me. And I'm too biased against North Carolina to really have a conversation against this, and I can't help it. It's the fan in
right.
me coming out. I've grown up an hour from
no,
that campus.
No, I don't think so, because I'll say this. I almost never paint fan bases with broad strokes because
yeah.
it's not fair.
Yeah.
But overwhelmingly, Carolina fans represent a level of snobbishness and just a level of superiority, unfounded superiority,
yes.
unlike most fan bases that I come in contact with.
Oh, absolutely.
With.
I mean,
people
talk about UVA's fan base, but there's nothing compared to North Carolina.
I don't think so either.
And
they tell you that Duke is this rich, snobby school that, you know, where the fans are just unbearable. My personal experience has been the opposite.
Yeah, I've been fine with Duke fans from what I've seen. There's nothing worse than a Carolina basketball fan who's never set foot on the campus before.
Yeah.
And can't even tell you anything about the school. There's nothing worse than those fans, because they're like, we.
Oh, the Miami fans that have never stepped foot in South Beach
right.
are pretty close.
You're right.
They're pretty
right.
close.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not going to begrudge anyone the right to be to be a fan of the school they want to be a fan of. That's fine. We're Americans. You have that freedom.
We are slightly biased against North Carolina here,
well,
as you can probably tell.
Well, you know what? I don't even...
But they make it so easy.
No, I don't even dislike North Carolina.
Right.
I've never had a problem with Carolina, ever, in my life. I'm not anti-Carolina. When I was growing up, Dean Smith's teams were fun to watch.
Oh yeah. I respect the heck out of Dean Smith's
absolutely.
Teams.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, the old Tech fans will tell you that when Virginia Tech won 9 games, and I believe it was the 1983 season, and it looked like they were going to the Peach Bowl, and the Peach Bowl wanted UNC and Virginia Tech, but they wanted UNC the most, and UNC had won one fewer game than Virginia Tech,
mm-hmm.
but UNC told the Peach Bowl, we're not playing Virginia Tech. We don't want to play them. We're not going to play them. They're not good enough for us. So the Peach Bowl said okay. And Virginia Tech went bowless that year at 9-2. And this is all documented. Like, the Peach Bowl officials actually told the newspapers all this. So a lot of old school Tech fans have a hatred of North Carolina because of that. And I can't say I blame them. By the way, North Carolina ended up going to that Peach Bowl and got absolutely annihilated.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't understand the fan base. The basketball program is one of the blue blood elite programs in the country. I have respect for it. I've never disliked Carolina, but the fan base, I mean, whether I was, you know, in Keenan Memorial or if it's just talking to him on the street, it's just a level of unfounded superiority and snobbishness that I just can't fathom. And when you read the comments, and not just the comments, just talking to Carolina fans about this particular set of situations, you nailed it. The one thing that you hear over and over again, there are two factions of Carolina fans. The ones who have just, they've relented, and it's, okay, yeah, we screwed up, you know, yeah. They embarrassed us. Take your medicine. Let's get this thing over with. That's one faction. It's the smaller faction.
Yeah.
The other faction is, we didn't do anything wrong. Everyone does this. Why are you picking on us?
Yeah.
And it's, you can't have the conversation.
Sure.
There's no point in trying to have the conversation with them, because the fact of the matter is, while there is, you know, an epidemic in college sports with academic fraud, you know, and impermissible benefits and all these things, this doesn't happen everywhere. Not to this level. This is systematic, institutional, academic fraud, where everybody from athletics to academics was pulling strings at a level that we haven't seen before. But Carolina fans they won't hear it. They won't hear about it.
We're talking about a program that hired Butch Davis.
Yeah.
Butch Davis.
And you had academic administrators who, when they hired Butch Davis, were willing to make concessions academically to win football games. And they actually won some football games, but it never really turned out the way they hoped it did.
For all the stuff they're doing, man, I'd be really mad if I was a Carolina fan that they didn't win more games. If you're going to cheat your tail off for that long and make it be that obvious, you better get me at least a Coastal Division championship at some point, right?
Yeah.
They didn't even do that.
At least they made some rings that said they won it.
Yeah.
You know?
They shared it.
I just can't fathom. I get it. You know, it's your favorite team, fans short for fanatic, and everyone gets emotional about these things, and it's hard to be, you know, objective and unbiased and to try to look at things balanced, but you can't have that conversation with them.
No.
And you know what? I don't know if you turn the tables and you put the shoe on the feet of Virginia Tech's fan base, you know, how they would react, how they would cope with it. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Who knows?
You know, Virginia Tech went through something like this when Frank Beamer was hired.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he was first hired, they were losing scholarship. Was it Dutch Bauman was the athletics director?
And yeah. He came in and he was their athletics director for maybe less than
a year. Right? Yeah, not
less
even
a year. He was here long enough to hire Frank.
Right.
And then basically figured out, wow, they told me a lot of things that weren't true. We're about to get hammered with probation. I'm out.
Scholarship losses. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just frustrating to see this large faction of the Carolina fan base just relentlessly holding on to this notion that they've done nothing wrong, and all the rest of us commoners need to do is read the Weinstein report from start to finish, and we'll see, you know, without a shadow of a doubt, that they're innocent.
Well, that's what
this is persecution.
The NCAA notice of allegations was based on this report.
I know.
So,
I know. It really is funny. It's tragic, but it's funny. I don't know what more to say. Let's take a break. We got Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com with us in the McAdoo studios for one more segment. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.